I have the soprano Nadine Sierra talking with me right now. Nadine is just really one of the most exciting young opera singers on the scene right now. I want to thank you, Nadine, for making some time for us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, I listened to your broadcast of Lucia, which was on Sirius Satellite Radio a couple of weeks ago, and your singing was just magnificent. I mean,
Thank you. Just
wonderful. But this production, you know, has a lot of people. They seem to be on one side of the fence or the other because it's a modernized production. I wonder if we could start just by talking about that a little bit, because it'll be seen by people here on the 21st, I think, when it's broadcast on that Saturday afternoon. So can you kind of give us a little primer as to what that is all about?
Absolutely. Since it is a modern day production, it's set in a time that, you know, we as modern day people very much understand, especially a lot of the social elements of the production. You know, Lucia and her family kind of being controlled in a sense by drugs. And in that sense, you know, not really having a way out because of that. Because I would imagine, you know, once you get into that line of work or even into that addiction, you almost put yourself in a social prison, I'd say. So there's some of that. Also, you know, showing this family, not just Lucia herself, but the family also as being oppressed, the society around them being quite oppressed, and obviously dealing with a lot of financial issues. And what that does to people. When I grew up, I have an amazing family and I have wonderful parents. But when I grew up, I did not grow up in a family with a lot of money. And, you know, we didn't really have a lot of choices when I grew up with my two sisters. We had the choices that were available to us and what my parents could afford. And because of that, you know, there was a lot of stress in my family, especially from my father. My father at some point had three jobs. And those kinds of pressures, when they exist within a family dynamic, people say and do things that perhaps if they, you know, had a little bit more freedom financially or socially, maybe they wouldn't do those things. So this production of Lucia shows a lot of that, and not just, you know, the Lucia that we constantly see time and time again as just, let's say, the one-dimensional story of, you know, this is what Lucia is going through and that's it, rather than asking the question, well, why is she going through that? And in a way that we can understand today. And this is what this production does. It makes people think. It's very thought provoking. And I do understand, you know, it's, it's kind of caused, I don't know. I wouldn't say a war or a battle. I don't want to be so operatic in my choice of words, but it has kind of caused a divide, let's say, between, you know, the people who love traditional Lucias and aren't giving this production a chance. I have to add that, you know, they're only critiquing it based off of what they're seeing in photos or videos. And then those who are giving it a chance and seeing it, and they're like, my God, you have to watch it because this isn't just about the opera. It's about us. It's about us today. And especially, you know, after all of us have gone through the pandemic, so many people lost their jobs. They lost their livelihoods. They lost so much and they're trying to get it back. Some people haven't been able to get that back because of what happened in the pandemic and shutting everything down. So there's that too. You know, it's, I really hope that, you know, people will give it a chance for the future performances to come, which they are. I do see the audience growing larger and larger. And, you know, people seem to really, really love it when they watch it. And we'll see what happens during the HD, you know, how many people actually attend and the people's reaction from it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll obviously go to a much wider audience then. But I have to say, when I've seen modernized productions in the past of anything, my number one complaint has always been, well, the singing was not that great because they focused on the visuals. But you guys, the three of you are fantastic singers in this role. I mean, that completely removes any argument from me as far as, you know, what they want to do with it.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your album, which came out a couple of months ago. It's called Made for Opera. Mm-hmm. And that refers to you like in a very personal way, that title. Mm-hmm. And you also sing the arias of Lucia on here, and you sing Violetta, and you sing also Juliet. I mean, you know, none of those three are a walk in the park for, for any soprano. I wonder, let's start with the title Made for Opera. And why are you made for opera?
Oh, gosh, I think I've been made for opera from literally the time I was born. I'll tell you why. So a little bit of my background. I am half Portuguese coming from my mother's side. And from my father's side, I am a quarter Puerto Rican and a quarter Italian. My mother grew up in Lisbon with her mother, my grandmother, who had a beautiful voice and had wanted to become an opera singer, but my great-grandfather didn't allow her because he said, you know, well brought up young women do not have careers. They are meant to be housewives and they are meant to be mothers to their children and that's it. So you're not allowed to do anything but that. So my grandmother never pursued her dream. And when I was born, my mom tells a story when I was 3 months old. 3 months is quite young. I was in the car seat, and she could see me through the rearview mirror while the radio was playing, tapping my foot perfectly to the rhythm of the music that was playing. And she thought, that is so odd for a, you know, such a young baby to like have this ability, you know, to tap perfectly to the rhythm of music already. So she knew from the time I was very young that there was some connection with music and myself. And when I was 6 years old, she allowed me to have voice lessons because I was constantly singing around the house. I think I made my parents' ears bleed because I was constantly singing. And then she introduced opera to me when I was 10 years old because she figured, well, my mother loved opera and wanted to become an opera singer. Let's see what happens in this 10-year-old. And she was right. I fell in love with opera immediately, just like my grandmother. And opera became everything I drank, ate, and breathed in. It was the thing that really gave me life. And I'll say this. I told you a little bit that I grew up, you know, within a family situation where we didn't have a lot of money and we struggled a lot. Music was my escape. It was this world that I could enter into that I just felt like, you know, no fear was associated with that and no limitations were there. So music like transported me to my own little heaven inside of my brain and in my soul. And, I think this is why I'm made for opera. It's something that is in my you know in my blood in my family's life, but it's just so much in me because it's just like part of my soul. It's something that has really fed me in life only for the positive.
Yeah.
So, and I've never given up on it. Also. You know, I've never lost this love that I have for opera, even though, you know, it's been hard and I've sacrificed a lot to have the career that I have. And I'm, you know, 33 years old. So, yeah, I do feel like I'm made for opera because I just I love it. I love it so much. And I've loved it ever since I was so young.
Well, it's such a beautiful personal story that you bring to this recording. Why did you gravitate toward these three heroines, I guess you would say, yeah. These three women, Lucia and Violetta and Juliet.
Well, okay. The three of these women, their stories are very similar to my grandmother's, you know, being young women in their time era where they could not make certain choices for themselves. And because of the choices that they make, they're punished in a certain way because they don't go into the direction as, you know, women should and just should do what they're told. So I wanted to show that similarity, you know, between stories that are told and a story that's actually very real, which is my grandmother's story. And then the difference from that to how women are able to lead their lives today, you know, as modern women, having the choice, having the right to live, not, you know, just as a free woman, but like as a free human being, right? Mm. And despite these women, even my grandmother too, despite these women not always having the choice to, you know, live a freer life or the life that they want, these composers highlighted these women, you know, kind of putting them at the forefront of the music and of the plot to show them in a very strong way. And in a way that at the end, they're so memorable. I mean, you can't forget them. It's why these operas are so famous, is because of the women that are in them. Yeah. And I said this to the other interviewer I was speaking to. These women have become iconic, even though these lives that they lead are not really the ones that they would have chosen. So my grandmother is iconic in my life. You know, she's the woman that gave me this story to continue. You know, it's like she had her story and she had her chapters in it, but it never ended when she died. It's yeah. continued because I took it on for myself and I'm still writing that story. And
you
it's
carry
the story
her legacy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And her love, you know, for music.
I know your sister, Melanie, is a singer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that TikTok video that she did last Christmas about, she
yes,
was singing
exactly.
like a little drummer boy. And then you came in and sang. I mean, it's a wonderful dynamic that you have going on there.
Thank you.
And you can really sense the family, you know, mechanics that you bring to all yeah. your performances. Let me ask you quickly, you know, it's obvious that you've brought a lot to these three women, these three mm-hmm. characters when you portray them. You've done all of them on stage. What have they given you as far as your personal life and
so
as a
much.
Person?
They've given me so much. Because, okay, with all three of them, there are many similarities between the things that they live in their storyline and the things that I've lived in my personal life, my relationships with men, my relationships with my family, making tough decisions that have essentially changed my life completely. And these women give me literally an outlet to find therapy in all of the things that I've lived in my life when I get to sing these ladies. I find each and every time I get to be one of them, I can take all of the things I've lived throughout my young life, and I can put those things into these ladies in a very meaningful and very truthful way, so that I can tell the story, not just as best I can, but as believable as I can. Mm-hmm. I want opera, every opera performance I do, I always want it to leave an impact, even if it's just for one person. I always wanted to leave it an impact because that's what it did for me when I was 10 years old. If it hadn't been for that experience, you know, maybe I wouldn't have become so interested in opera as I did. but I know what that's like, and I know it changed my life. So if I can do that somehow for another, you know, young girl out there, I've done my job. And these ladies give me that opportunity. They give me the opportunity to do that. And my God, the music is so beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's like pure heaven. My job is pure heaven. Yes, it's hard. Yes, I have to struggle a lot. Yes, I, you know, I have to travel a lot and things, but at the end of the day, I just, I feel so lucky. Like, I feel so, so blessed in my life that these women are in my life, but also their music is in my life.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Well, it's also in the ears and the life of your fans, and certainly a wonderful, wonderful recording. It's called Made for Opera, soprano Nadine Sierra, who joined us today from the Metropolitan Opera, where she's singing Lucia di Lammermoor right now. That live in HD broadcast is happening on May 21st. You can also listen to it right here on FM 91. Nadine Sierra, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
You're so welcome. My pleasure.